Welcome. This is A Lost Plot, the podcast where cinematic plots are taken apart piece by piece to determine what makes that movie great or why it has been forgotten today.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back with another episode of A Lost Plot. Today, I am very pleased to announce a special event. We are recording this not with one, but with two special guests. My good friends Andrew and Juan are with us today. Andrew, good to see you.
Yes, sir.
And Juan, always
How's
a pleasure.
How's it going? I like to be here.
Today we are discussing a movie. Let's call it Thor: Love and Thunder, a release by the Marvel Cinematic Universe in what, Phase 4? Isn't that what we're in right now, Andrew?
Yeah, it's where the legends are in the gutter and they're drunk.
Yes, so we are discussing Thor: Love and Thunder today. Written and directed by Taika Waititi, it stars Natalie Portman, Chris Hemsworth, Russell Crowe, a whole host of other people, primarily focusing around the characters Thor, Dr. Jane Foster, Korg, and a couple other crazy characters, including this new character Gore and the famous god Zeus. Anyways, if you're watching this or listening to this up to this point, you know that big spoilers are always revealed in this, so if you are concerned about hearing things you have not heard and getting something spoiled for you, do know. Listen to this before watching the movie.
Watch the movie, you bum.
Or all don't, right. And save your time. Anyways.
No, it was a good movie. You just, I enjoyed it.
We have, the reason we have a trio here is specifically to provide some balance to the forces of nature. Today, we will be taking sides. We have Juan, who is the voice of reason, and we have Andrew, who is the eternal optimist, and me, who is the realist. So now let's talk about the movie in the introduction.
I was about to call you a narcissist, but I realized that was the wrong word to use.
So today we are going to talk about the beginning, which was pretty classic.
You're talking about Gore showed
up?
Yeah,
so
that
part
was trash, bro.
Oh, Gore showed up?
Yeah,
bro. Okay, it reminded me of when...
Wait, let's rewind. Let's rewind for a second. For everyone who's listening, what is Thor: Love and Thunder about? Andrew or Juan?
Thor: Love and Thunder about?
Yeah, just a quick synopsis of the plot.
It's Thor going through rehab after being a fat drunk from the game and losing the love of his life in the mix, and then deciding he wants to have kids, but he can't have kids because he doesn't have someone.
This is not helpful. Watch.
Yeah, so like, it starts with him.
And you're the optimist?
Hey, that sounds like a pretty good story to me.
So it's him going through love, right? And then he loses Jane Foster was
yeah.
So he loses Jane, and then he's like, ever since I lost Jane, no one gets close to me. Then it turns out he broke his old hammer name, which
Mjolnir.
Yeah, there you go. So he broke that one, and Jane, who is his ex love, like, is going through cancer, stage 4 out of 4, so it's not too good. And then she goes to the hammer to like heal her. And then Thor comes back because he's like home's getting like beat up, and he finds love again, and they just go back to it, bro. Falls in love. That's probably like the worst synopsis, but it's along the lines.
Yeah, that pretty much sums up most of their plot line. The only thing that's missing is the bad guy.
Oh yeah, the bad guy. That guy. All right. So it starts off with him praying to some god, and the god's like, oh, well, I don't care about you. You're supposed to pray for me and only care for me. And then the dude, I guess, they just murdered the god killer. And that guy was like, whoa, I thought I was praying to you and you don't care for me. Now I'm going to murder you. So it doesn't go like that, but he murders the god. Yeah. And then from there, he just starts murdering all the gods. And then Thor comes in.
Yeah. So that's pretty much the synopsis of the two different sides of the movie.
That was a very prolonged, but yeah.
Yeah, thank you, Andrew. That's the best way
to say it. I mean, it's basically just about Thor being with the Guardians of the Galaxy, then trying to save the world, then he fights Zeus, then he fights Gore, then his girlfriend dies, then he's depressed, then he's not, then he has a daughter, and then they are Love and Thunder.
Fun fact is that daughter is actually Chris Hemsworth's daughter.
Yes.
The actual daughter.
They actually had Natalie Portman.
And Chris Hemsworth.
And Chris Hemsworth and Christian Bale's kids were all on set. They were all part of the group of kids.
Yeah.
So.
Which is a whole other thing. But anyways.
Which was pretty good. Cheap labor.
yes. Anyways. No so. there's many comments to be made. The movie starts off with really just having almost a little quick scene for each of the primary characters of this movie to catch people up on what's going on. It starts off with Gore, as Juan was just talking about, showing how he was disgruntled with the gods.
Yeah, so,
and so he was the bad
desert,
guy.
They're yeah. in the desert, right? And
yeah.
He's like praying for water. And I guess his daughter died because it's him and his daughter. And they go to an oasis or something
yeah.
like that. And that's where the gods, like chilling, vibing with some, like, flower females.
Yeah.
And then he's like, stop eating my fruit. I'm a god. That's God fruit. And he's like, well, there's no one else to pray for you. That's...
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Also, fun fact, in the comics, it was a son, not a daughter, so...
Wait, well...
What do you mean?
Okay.
Gore had a son, not a daughter. They just swapped
oh,
genders.
Okay. I thought you
well,
like
I
an
mean,
actual,
that's
actual like ball of fire, and I was like, "What the?"
No, yeah. So, anyways, that was the introduction to Gore and how he gets this special sword that can actually kill the gods, and so he gets tasked with this role of killing the gods.
What's the name of the sword again, Andrew?
The Necro Sword.
Yeah, the Necro Sword.
Which was super lame in the movie, not gonna lie. There's a reason I didn't give it a 10 out of 10, okay?
Okay.
I'm well, not the we'll... forever optimist.
Okay.
I'm just being realistic. It was enjoyable. And I did like what it did with Thor, but Gore was kind of stupid and lame, so.
Yeah, so that was Gore. Then they introduced Jane Foster again. Just basically said she's going through cancer.
Which
and
is
then
also
she
stupid.
Goes to the...
But okay, continue.
Of all points of the thing to say that that's the stupid part.
Well, the way it was done, the way it was done, it was supposed to be just stage one. It's supposed to be stage four.
Why?
Because in the comics...
Stage four really screws you over.
No, 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 no. It becomes stage four because she's using the hammer. It was stage four right off the get-go. She starts out stage one, she uses the hammer, but it doesn't keep... It purges all the like chemo from her system. But except for the cancer, because it's part of her body. So she basically keeps using the hammer. The more she uses it, the more it kills her. Then Doctor Strange is finally like, if you use it again, you're going to die. And she's like, okay, fine. And she doesn't use it. Then she uses it. Then she dies. The stage four came way after she started using it. But it was like stage four from the get-go.
Well.
That's why it was stupid.
That's a stupid reason to say it's stupid.
Hey, it's not listen, accurate.
Okay,
like,
okay, here's why. Because you don't have the time to, in a movie, to, like, make it a whole, oh, it progressed.
But they did.
From stage one to stage four. Like.
They did. They had that
that's
whole.
That's super rapid.
They, like,
for,
had
they,
her.
This literally happened in, like, 2 days. This
yeah.
entire movie.
Not entirely. It, like, showed her standing by the hammer, and then it just, she just wasn't there until she, like, actually knew how to use the hammer a little bit and stuff like that. It progressed really rapidly. When she was using the hammer.
Yeah, I guess you don't really know what time goes through. Regardless, I actually think they could have spent more time doing other things in the movie.
Like
so,
what?
Like, not half of the movie, but...
There was a lot of good comedy in there, like the goat boat.
The goat boat was actually a good...
My favorite part
was the goat boat.
Okay, keep going through
but
the story.
But anyway, so they introduced Gore, Jane Foster, and then Thor. And Thor was just the classic... Thor's the cool dude coming in to save the galaxy with his super move. He's fighting with the Guardians of the Galaxy at that point, so he's helping them save some universe from the threat of these crazy bird people. which, I don't know what the frick was going on there. But it was basically a big comedy scene, and they've just reestablished all the sets the stage for the rest of the movie.
Yeah. What is it? The part where he destroys like the temple of like the god there, praying to him. He's like, I don't want to talk about the temple. Don't talk about the temple. Like, I'm sorry for destroying. I don't want to talk about the temple.
He's like, all right. Very strong on the comedy sense of things. But overall, what was your impression on how well they developed that opening scene?
The opening scene?
Yeah, good, bad, and why?
The opening scene being from when Gore was in the desert.
Each of those three. So Gore, Jane Foster's plotline, and Thor being reintroduced and reestablished as this powerful being.
All right. So if you had to shoot, marry, kill each one of those
things. Okay.
Wait, isn't shooting and killing the same thing?
No, my bad. So like, kill. What is it? Kill. How does the game go? It's like
kill, marry, kiss.
Yeah, like that. Yeah, like those.
Yeah,
scenes.
The PG version.
Yeah. Probably kill the gore scene.
Yeah.
Kiss the Jane scene. Marry the Thor scene.
There you go. I feel like that's the right.
I mean, the Thor scene. Okay, so if we go through those one by one, gore scene. We'll just start with that one because I want him first.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like it was way too underdeveloped. It did not do it justice whatsoever. Gore, literally, the storyline is his son dies in the desert. He's pissed off, and so he says, "I don't believe in any of you gods." Like he renounces his faith.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, Knoll and this other god, the one with the gold armor, the one that was in the movie, come falling out of the side. And Knoll is the guy who created the Necrosword. He's like the god of all the symbiotes. They fall out of the sky, hit the ground. Knoll's about to kill the other god, and the other god begs Gore to save him. And Gore's like, "What the heck? You wouldn't help me, and now that you need help, you're like asking me to help you." So the Necrosword bonds with him, and it doesn't. The Necrosword isn't only a sword.
Are you talking about in the comics?
Yes.
Okay, we're talking about.
I'm explaining why it was so lame the way they developed it. The way they developed it was just. Oh, I'm so sad. Oh, you didn't save me? Oh, I'm mad at you. Oh, wow, there's a magical sword that just popped out of nowhere. They didn't develop the sword at all.
It's true.
That was so annoying. Like, they've developed Mjolnir throughout the movies. Like, at least we understood.
Well, especially in this one.
Yeah, they developed the weapons way more. Like, they actually gave them
personalities. Which I actually thought was interesting.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, like, you know, they're just like, oh, yeah, this magic... A black sword. It's just a black sword that's like floaty and can go in the ground and make weird, scary demons. Cool.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I suppose that's a. If you know the background, it is disappointing.
And I mean, they didn't have to develop it a ton.
Yeah.
But they didn't explain much other than, oh, it's just this really powerful old relic that no one knows about, really.
Yeah.
That can kill gods, which technically other things can kill gods too, because like Loki died by Thanos squishing his neck.
Yeah, no, there are obviously other ways, but it's like.
Wait, Loki was a god?
Technically, he's a half god, but like, yeah, he's a god.
Yeah. But I mean, like, his mom died too from the dark elves.
Yeah.
Like, half of Asgard died. They got blown up.
Yeah, they did. But was everyone.
Yeah, so, I mean, honestly, it's.
The Necrosword isn't like the way that they use the weapon. It's like how they did Silver Surfer's surfboard in the Silver Surfer and Fantastic Four movie. They misrepresented the way that it worked in that it was just this really powerful sword that can kill gods. It's like the show Once Upon a Time with the Dark One dagger. Like, this is the one thing that can kill you.
I haven't seen that show in forever, and I stopped watching after a while because it was garbage. Right, but let's not go down other rabbit holes too much. Basically, okay, I see part of the problem here is, which you are pointing out, is that it's clear that gods can be killed in other ways,
yes,
in other parts of the universe, as they've already established. So why is the Necrosword really that important?
The Necrosword is a symbiote. That's what makes it so cool. And so much more powerful. It's like Venom and Eddie Brock, except it's Gore and the Necrosword. It bonds with him, but it manifests the shape of a sword. That's the shape he keeps it in. Other times it's a cloak, and he has a black cloak on. In the movie, they just made it some white robe. But it manifests itself in any shape, and that's what the beasts were supposed to be, but they never explained that. It was just like, oh, this sword somehow summons these shadow beasts.
Yeah.
But the
Necrosword... I don't hate the mystique to, like, counter that. Like, the mystery of it is actually makes it a little more intimidating. It's like, you know, when you never see the face of the person behind the robe, it's kind of, like,
true.
Scary and uncertain. So there is a certain sense in which that wasn't the worst mistake I think that they made, but like, yeah, it is cool to know. I think it makes more sense and adds more power to it if you know why.
But I mean, then they just destroyed it, so they're never going to explore how it actually worked and stuff.
It's true.
Anyway, so that
go ahead. Go back in time, like future movies, and like, because isn't Hercules in it?
Yeah, Hercules was in the end credit scene.
Yeah, so like, what if he wants to kill the gods? Or like, not the gods, but kill him, and he wants to rebuild
Thor?
That sword, yeah. Like, is there any way they could rebuild that sword? Or, like, go back in time?
Well, they don't need to use the sword to kill him. We've seen other times when gods have been killed.
No,
literally, yeah. Hela just showed up and speared all three of his friends.
Yeah.
He's basically,
this
they're
is
just
a
gonna.
Good point.
But
they're
what
just gonna.
Say is you don't think that sword is ever gonna come back to play?
I don't think it'll come back.
No,
I think
probably
Jane Foster
not
will come back, though. If I'm being completely honest. In this storyline, literally, that's exactly what happens. But we can get to that later.
Yeah, so also, just because something happens in the storyline does not mean it's going to happen in the movies.
No, the way the movie did the end credit scene was exactly how it was set up in the comics.
Oh, well, I can go shoot myself now.
Oh, we can get to that in a bit, though.
Okay, so... That all the characters are introduced. The real inciting incident was when Gore takes his newfound powers and goes to the town, the new, what was it, New Asgard, on Earth, which was basically like a haven for silly adventure. It was basically like
a tourist location.
Asgard Disneyland.
Yeah.
And
Asgardian
so,
land.
Yeah, basically everyone just went there and did stupid stuff and pretend they were cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes over and haunts all the kids who are in their hotel rooms sleeping, catches them in a cage and ships them off to film noir moon where they can wait until Thor goes to save them.
Yeah. Talking about the shadow realm.
Yeah.
And they're placing like this weird cage monster.
Yeah.
It was also really weird they did the black and white scene, but
that's why I said the film noir.
Oh, okay.
Anyways, what was your impression of that?
Which part?
Inciting situation where he comes down, Thor appears to fight him, and then Woman Thor appears.
I'm trying to remember, how did we transition? Because it went Gore. Did it go Gore, Thor, Jane, or Gore, Jane, Thor when they introduced the characters?
I think it was Thor.
I think.
Because I know Gore came first. I think Thor came second. Because it was like, it showed Korg telling his story.
Yeah.
Is this important?
Because I'm trying to remember how it transitioned from those intros into that scene. Because the transitions are important too. Because that was another thing. I felt like the movie was very rushed. That was one of my main problems. Was just the rushing of the story.
That's interesting.
Like, it was just like, boom, we're here. Boom, we're there. Boom, we're over here again.
I honestly don't remember. It could have been either in my impression, so I didn't think it was a big deal.
Wait, are we talking about the part where they go to the Shadow Realm?
No, we're talking about when they're at New Asgard.
Yeah, when Gore first comes out and he's like taking the kitties, you know. Before that, were we talking about Jane or were we talking about Thor?
Like, who came first?
The chicken or the egg?
No, Jane. Okay, Jane came first because it showed Jane looking at the pieces of the hammer. And then it switched to Thor, because it wouldn't have showed her looking at the hammer and then just boom, we're all of a sudden at the kids.
Yeah.
At least I think that right.
Yeah,
so
it's probably
like
true.
It goes to her like having like cancer, and then I guess she's like in the lab trying to figure out like why she has cancer, like how to cure it.
Yeah.
And the book talks to her, and that's when she goes to New Asgard.
Mm-hmm.
And then
it's like the pieces. Right. That was also really weird. I didn't like how she just like showed up, and then as soon as everyone left, then it decided to start like moving around and like.
Well, it also is probably confusing in the timeline because you had Korg giving these flashback. Oh, this is what happened before. With this is Thor's love story. This is Thor the hero. This is, you know,
true.
Jane Foster. And so doing that kind of messes up the timeline of what exactly happened when. Anyways, Gore comes, attacks the town. He starts to steal these kids, and then
he stole the kids afterwards.
Well, he goes to kill Thor, to be perfectly
honest. And then Thor gets mad because he touched his toys.
And then he doesn't work. He realizes, he's outmatched, I guess, and so he proceeds to steal some kids and run away. What was your impression of that scene?
It was okay. As far as the scene went, I just felt like it was like, oh wow, this is happening now.
In regards to...
like the scene, so throughout the movie, the scenes individually felt fine, mm-hmm. but it was like the transitions needed work, in my opinion. That was my main problem, was like the transitions were just like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it wasn't like they just went directly to that. They showed Thor seeing that Gore had been attacking these other...
well, yeah, gods. He saw on the screen.
And he went and explored one mm-hmm. where that woman was like...
well, that was how the dying. Transition worked. He found yeah. Sif, then he came Sif, back.
Yeah, there we go. So Sif was...
Sif was the transition. Was and that dying. That was also really annoying.
Not
that,
really dying, but like kind
of
dying.
Part of it was, one part of it annoying.
Okay. Sif as a character is really cool. They've hardly ever used her in the MCU.
Like, right.
She wasn't even in Ragnarok, which I guess is okay because she was in hiding. But then they brought her back in this movie... made her into a total comedy piece. Like, her character is not comedic at all.
Right.
She was just like, oh, I lost my arm. Just let me die. And he's like, oh, but you can't go to Valhalla because you're not dying in battle. She's like, oh, crap. Okay, I'm not dying now. And I was like, what the heck?
Yeah.
And then they took her back to Asgard. That,
and that's, like, an important point, actually, because that's a huge overtone of this entire movie, is that it was all about the comedy.
Yeah. Which I feel like Ragnarok was kind of like that, too, to an extent.
To an extent. I mean, yeah. But I think that there was so much comedy yeah. in this one that it overshadowed the actual plot line and made it difficult for you to appreciate like the serious Dynamite. Moments. Yeah, exactly. You know, well, it's like you're watching a movie. You know, if someone you go to someone's house and like, what do you want to watch? A comedy, a drama, a mm-hmm. horror, a thriller? And you go, why don't we watch a thriller comedy? Like, unless it's a dark comedy, I mean, even a dark comedy, you're kind of there to laugh. You're not even there to, like...
I mean, was Thor Ragnarok a dark comedy?
No, it wasn't. That's the point. Like, it's almost like you have to put the movie in a category and then leave it there.
Yeah.
And typically, hero movies aren't in the comedy categories.
I mean, Ant-Man.
Generally. True.
Yeah.
You can skirt the lines. Like, you can still have comedy in a movie, but it's not a comedy movie.
Yeah.
You know? But this movie almost went so much into the comedy that it was a comedy movie.
But it wasn't a comedy.
But it wasn't a comedy.
Because it was supposed to be serious. Like, the yeah. overtone of the movie, the actual, like, idea, the story, yeah. the character development was not a comedic.
Which is weird, yeah, because it's like...
it was a very serious...
You had a very serious bad guy and, like, some very serious dark tones to how he acted.
Mm-hmm.
And then you freaking have, like, Thor going, oh, you're not going to Valhalla... and she's like, frick, I'm not dying anymore, you know?
Yeah, like, while watching the movie, like, you laugh more than, like, you're in suspense, if that makes sense. So it's not, like...
accident. It was drastic, because me and Cameron were cracking up.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, we're both sitting, like, leaning over in our seats. And I think, like, it was, like... I couldn't tell what Cameron was doing, but I could tell Cameron was, like, getting really emotional about some of the scenes. And I was like, whoa! And I was like, actually, this is an emotional scene. I shouldn't be laughing.
Well, Cameron is very appreciative of every moment, so...
true. And at one point when I actually
Cameron, thought... Cameron, if you're listening to this, I love you.
Yes, Cameron, we do. You're great. We loved your training this morning.
Yes.
No, I'm trying to think what it was. I was watching the movie, and I was so wrapped up in the comedy that when it actually got serious, like that one scene when she's like dying and like the realization hits him,
mm-hmm.
like I feel like that was a good scene, and like if they had kept that type of mood to the movie,
yeah, it would
have been a much better movie.
Yeah, even cutting out like half of the comedic scenes and just leaving those ones in,
mm-hmm.
I think would have helped the tone of the movie tremendously.
Yeah, like okay, first of all, getting rid of the entire dialogue between him and Sif, like oh, I can't die now, like
yeah.
making like if they had kept that whole thing serious, it would have flowed much better into the next scene.
Yeah.
Because it was, like, breaking it up. You get into this feeling while you're in the movie. Like, there's a tone to the movie.
Yeah.
And then it just switches on you. And when it switches, it's like you're spinning, like, a ball or a string or something. And then you just try to switch directions. And it doesn't work as well.
If yeah.
that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so they were doing that. They wouldn't even, like, they'd, like, switch and then they'd switch back. And so you could never really get into the momentum of that.
Of the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's probably exactly why I hated the movie.
There were times where you could get into the momentum, like when they had that very serious scene, and it lasted for quite a while, actually, when they had it started right when she was at the hospital, and then they
ended. Let's just say, I've never watched a movie where someone's dealing with cancer before where I thought, I'd rather walk outside and stare at the wall.
The way they introduced her with cancer is like, if it was nothing, like she was dealing with nothing. She was just sitting there. They're like, well, I have stage 4 cancer. And like,
also, she wasn't bald.
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah, like, okay. I don't think she really,
she was wearing a wig. Come on, we all know.
So, no, there was no way she was wearing a wig.
So come on, she changed it out between she was a superhero, blonde, when she wasn't.
No, the hair comes with the costume.
So she's sitting down, and then the lady's like, oh, you shouldn't be stressing out, you have cancer. And she's like, oh, well, stage 4, how bad can it be? It's like, well, it's stage 4 out of stage 4, so like, you're going through something traumatic.
Yeah, they made that into a joke too. They're like,
I don't think it was too serious, but at least they didn't take it too serious, so like, it's hard to like,
yeah.
So anyways, there's a lot of things.
They had that.
The whole thing they did with also the weapons. Okay, so they had that scene with when he met Jane.
Right.
Yeah.
That scene was hilarious, by the way, in so many regards. When we saw...
Yeah, it was pretty good.
When like, he saw Jane and he was like, Jane? We were all like, hey, it's like Zach when he says, Gordon.
Yeah. But honestly, I think the dialogue in the movie sucked.
Why?
Because it did.
Name a part.
So the parts, there was a lot of parts throughout it that they would say something obvious or say something that was clearly there just to convey the plot. It wasn't actually something someone would say. For example, when he's going off to fight Gore, the Valkyrie is giving him the Thunderbolt, and she proceeds to tell him, like, oh, you need to just destroy the sword and then you're good. Previously, before that point in the movie, we didn't even know that was all they needed to do to defeat Gore.
I did.
Well, yeah, it's because you've read the comics.
In the comics, that's not what kills him. He loses the sword all the time. But the way that they did the movie and they portrayed the sword was like, that was what was keeping him alive.
Well, yeah, but they didn't specifically convey that clearly until that point in the movie. And then she just says that, like, out of the blue. As he's walking up to her, he's like, oh yeah, I just destroy the sword and you're good to go. They had things like that throughout the entire movie that was just like, oh, we need to convey this piece of information, just have someone say it. Or like, for example, at the beginning, that dialogue where, what's his freaking name?
Core?
No.
Star-Lord?
Star-Lord is talking to him about losing your love or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Did not feel like sound like something you would say to your friend at all.
What do you mean?
Like, he just kind of pulls it out of the blue and is like, hey, I know you're going through something tough, just out of nowhere, and starts going into very specific detail about like being in a love interest situation.
So you feel like they forced that in there?
Yeah,
I don't know, that didn't seem like the biggest thing to me. Again, like, the biggest thing to me was just the transitions.
That's a very interesting thing to pull out. My whole thing is that, like, they did it so many times in it where it was like, this doesn't really fit, that you were kind of just taking this piece and shoving it in.
I guess. I didn't actually notice that part.
Well, anyways.
But, I mean, I guess now that you pointed out, I don't know. I feel like they've done that a lot.
Yeah. Oh, they do. That's why Disney sucks.
Like in the MCU even.
Yeah, I agree. That's why Disney sucks.
Oh, okay. How would you have had them do it?
Not that. Like, you need to... So, part of it is developing the tone of the character, right? Mm-hmm. What would the character say? And then if a character would not say that, you do not violate the rule of how the character would speak to convey information that you need conveyed. You find a different way to convey it.
True.
Either through a different character or through a different plot piece.
Yeah, I can see that. although I felt like Valkyrie's character and Korg's character and Sis's character were all just like, they didn't even care about the character. They were just there as plot devices the entire time. They didn't really do much. They were just kind of there. And they would do whatever they needed them to do to move the story along. Thor and Jane were the only two they actually focused on.
Yeah, what was the name of the rock guy?
Korg.
Korg, yeah. Like, when they were at the Omnipotent City?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's how they got introduced to dudes that are like, who's talking? Oh, these people are talking. Like, Korg pointed them out. Like, he, if it wasn't for that, like, I don't think they would have, they, like, it would have took that scene a lot longer to progress.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. When they were like, who's talking? Korg's like, them?
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that's a very Korg thing to say.
So I didn't feel like that was the worst
thing
to do, because I was like, okay, Korg would do that. But, like,
yeah. The whole scene with Thor talking to Zeus, I felt like they could have done so much more with
that. Well, yeah, that's the thing. There was so much potential in all of these pieces that they just kind of threw away.
Like, okay, Gore was so much more powerful than they portrayed him. Thor was so much more powerful than they portrayed him. But they're just like, no, we're just not going to... We're just going to...
Juan was really disappointed in how they portrayed Zeus, I'm sure.
Yeah, but, like, he's just some fat guy.
Wait, do you like Zeus?
No, but, like I remember when I watched, like Hercules, like, the movie and all that.
Oh, yeah.
He was, like, buff, so, like, you expect a buff dude to come out the clouds and the big show he made when he came in, like...
Yeah.
And then you just see him fat, and then, like, his armor has a six-pack. You can tell he does not have a six-pack, bro.
Yeah.
Like, the only cool thing about him was his thunderbolt. And what is it called? The lightning bolt?
He just calls it thunderbolt.
Oh, thunderbolt. Okay.
You're not worthy to wield it.
I think the coolest scene in the movie was Thor catching the thunderbolt.
Oh, yeah, that part was cool. I like the part where he throws it back.
Okay, but that's...
Yeah, no, when he catches it and throws it back.
My problem with any movie is when the coolest scenes are the battle scenes. That means you haven't developed the plot.
Well, that was the coolest scene. I think one of the best scenes was the scene with him talking to Jane in the hospital.
When he's telling her not to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, that I would agree.
I think that had some of the best dialogue, and it had some of the best moments for those characters.
Yeah, the best plot points, in my opinion... that developed throughout the whole movie, or one, whether or not you care that she had stage one or stage four, she had cancer.
I was
right?
being nitpicky, but yes.
Like, that's one of the more...
It's pivotal. You can't have...
Important parts of the whole plot line. And then I thought that the development of the hammers was somewhat interesting as a personality... Like, adding personality to the...
Yeah.
To the weapons. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Other than that,
which makes
honestly,
a lot more sense along with the way that they did it, with the hammer going to her,
right?
With like they played that into the movie how Thor told the hammer,
right?
Yeah,
and that made that made more sense. It was good, and I thought those two points as they developed them were the best parts. But that also means that you could like. Circumcise the rest of the movie off of that, and then you'd have so much more time to develop those.
And at least when like writing, I think whenever I've written something, it's important to keep like this in mind. You're showing it, you're not telling it.
Yeah, exactly.
So you don't need to like if you have to tell the audience what you're doing, then you haven't shown it clearly enough.
Yeah, exactly.
So like they showed through the movie why the hammer went to her.
Yeah.
They never had to explain that explicitly.
Yeah.
It just made sense as the movie progressed.
Yeah.
That was one of the things that made sense.
Yeah.
One of the only things that made sense, really.
See, exactly. How are you...
I enjoyed the movie, okay?
How do you enjoy the movie?
I enjoyed it. It's Thor, all right? Thor's
okay,
awesome.
Okay, if you like Thor, for the sake of being Thor, that's good. The movie develops more when you get to the part where everything goes black and white. Literally, and they go to the moon to save the kids. The kids aren't there. And there's the big fight over the hammer.
Also, I felt like the entire movie was just taking notes from the Obi-Wan Kenobi show. People getting stabbed don't die now. Like, you can...
That is a Disney trope for centuries.
You can just stab someone now and no one dies. Like, they stab Valkyrie. They stab Gore. They stab Zeus, for crying out loud. The thunderbolt flew through his chest. The end credit scene, he's just sitting there wiping it with a little napkin.
But he's a god, though.
I don't care. His own thunderbolt went through his chest.
Yeah, but, like, don't you think there's, like, different
rules for
them, though? Like, they're not, like...
No, but that's like saying, do you think Thor could not die by Stormbreaker? Stormbreaker killed Thanos, chopped off his head.
Yeah, but like, are they the same level of God, though?
What do you mean?
That makes sense. So like,
well, it's Zeus's weapon. Zeus is going to wield a weapon equal to his power. So something that powerful should have killed him, especially if it flew through his heart.
Yeah, but he's a
unless
god.
His heart's like located in his stomach.
Probably is, considering his staunch. His protruding paunch.
He probably has so much fat cake. That it's like pushed his heart down somewhere.
Gotta save
like,
it.
If he's
save
the
it
god
later.
Of lightning, can he control like how lightning hits him or like how hard he gets hit with lightning?
Wait,
like,
what?
No, did you see what happened?
Was not the one that...
No, yeah, like it went
when it went through him, he literally
maybe
fell off his podium
armor.
And like did a flip and then went splat.
It was for show. You know, he's all about the performance.
No, it flew through his chest. And embedded itself in the chair behind him.
He has.
He shouldn't have. Same thing with Valkyrie. Like, she got stabbed and she's like, and she's dying. And then it was like, oh no, we just gotta take her somewhere else.
Oh, yeah,
and then she's like,
sure.
Walking.
I thought she should have died for sure.
Yes.
Like, I'm just saying, but like.
Korg, too.
See, I wasn't disappointed, but that's because I expected that.
Korg, too.
I expected Disney to just let them live.
Mm-hmm.
Because Disney is pathetic.
Mm-hmm. Korg was just like, they threw the lightning bolt through Korg, and Korg's like, oh, I'm dead. I was like, oh, he died. Cool, we actually have some weight to this movie.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, no, my face is fine.
So it was obvious when, like, he throws the lightning bolt back, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he falls off, and nothing is made of that in the movie. It's just like, oh, he literally just killed the most powerful god of all the Greek gods in a single strike. And they don't even look back. But then this rock guy falls apart, and you're like, no! And then he pulls his face out, and he's like, oh, you're good, thank goodness.
Oh, and then he can just regrow his rocks? How does that work?
I don't know, to be perfectly honest.
He's made of rock. It's like elements. You can't create more.
Like sedimentary rocks.
Though. You just hold another male rock's hand.
That's so long.
That brings a whole new definition to the game Lava Monster.
Oh my gosh. Gotta grow. So, anyways.
I thought it was weird because they killed Zeus and no other god stepped up for him. Like, there's like, oh, no, he's dead.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Like, sorry, keep going. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, go ahead.
Well, it's just like, you have the freaking... You have Zeus just fall off the podium, and you have an entire arena of other gods. Supposedly the power of the entire Greek universe, right?
The entire pantheon.
And they literally just sit there.
Yeah, like
all of his kids that he's birthed through many various wives literally just stare at these people. And just let them get away.
Well, they kind of ran away immediately, so...
Immediately is such a, like...
Also, all the gods were pretty fat and weak, like Zeus, too, anyways.
These, like, rando, like, golden soldier dudes.
Like, the gods of magic. Like, you don't think the god of magic could have done something? Like, what's Doctor Strange, bro? He's pure magic.
Okay.
Are you talking about, like, the dumpling guy?
That pissed me off.
Well, okay.
Wow. Have you seen that Disney short?
No.
Yeah.
There's a Disney short.
Actually, I think that Disney short is hilarious.
It is. She eats him.
Yeah, I know. It was literally, everyone else in the theater when I watched that was dead silent. I was busting my butt laughing so hard.
Wait, it was in the theater?
Yeah, when we watched, it's at the beginning of, I don't remember.
It's called, like, Bao or something, right?
Yeah. It's at the beginning of some Disney movie, but I don't remember which one it is. Anyways, it's a Pixar movie. Sorry. But
anyways.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Yeah, it is.
Maybe it's Frozen.
My mom was extremely disturbed when she saw that. I was making dinner, and I was laughing so hard that there was a pan of, like, cooking onions, and I, like, slammed the little handle, and all the onions flew on my feet, and I was like, ah.
Dude, I would have done that, too, because I was laughing so hard.
Well, what part of that pissed
anyways,
you off, though?
Yeah, why did you get pissed off that you saw a dumpling? Like,
because
who freaking cares?
Why'd they put it in the Thor movie?
Oh, because it was just another joke. They were adding
That's
to
true.
Their line of jokes that they could put in. It was like, how can we put a joke in every, like, 5-minute segment of this movie?
Yeah, like, that was, like, the only way to keep people's attention.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they switched to the serious tone when they were in the hospital.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, and then in the hospital, and then it goes to, like, some comedic bit.
Yeah. You can't do that.
Also, what I can't figure out is the guy at the beginning... The you know the guy, he looked like he was, like, made out of the same material as the Necrosword.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was dead.
Was that supposed to be Null?
I'm assuming that it was just his slightly decayed version of his corpse.
Because Null looks nothing like that.
Okay, frankly, we don't know.
Like, we're celebrating the death of the gods there, right? Is mm-hmm. that how it goes?
We're celebrating the death of the wield. Yeah, he had been the gods there before. Which is also stupid, because there was no gods there before Gore. But they twisted that as well. What part of the movie are we on?
I was trying to get to the part where Gore gets the hammer, but we've just devolved into whatever, which is fine.
So, you're talking about how Null looks, or we're saying, oh, was that Null, or was it just, like, some random...
Well, I was trying to figure out if that character had any weight whatsoever.
Like, what does Null look like in the comics?
Let me find a picture.
So I think in the movie, he just looked like some pig monster, right?
Yeah.
Null?
Well, no, not exactly. He looked kind of like one, but like some humanoid.
Yeah. Are you talking about Gore or Null?
No.
The guy that was dead before Gore showed up.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't think that was Null, but I'm wondering, were they trying to make that to be Null?
I don't know. It's a random dude. He was dead. He had the sword. I was frankly like, whatevs. I already knew this movie was going to be garbage before I walked in, and even after that, I still wished I hadn't watched it.
Bro, it's just... Like, the way they started off is so dumb, bro, in my opinion. It looked like the ad for a mobile game, bro. Like, I would be crazy.
That is Null. What?
It looked like the ad for a mobile game.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't really argue with that, not gonna lie.
Like, it was so trash, bro.
He basically looks like The Witcher.
Alright, no, then,
with
yeah,
ton of body armor.
Yeah, that probably wasn't... I mean, it looked like he might have had armor, but I don't know that he was... I don't think he looked like that.
No. So yeah, probably wasn't Noah, just some random dude with a sword.
Yeah, which I guess makes sense if you think about how they explained it in the movie... Where the sword is killing you slowly over time as well.
Yeah.
So, anyways, Gore tricks them to go to this moon. They get there. They see these diagrams that he left around for no clear reason that showed that
he was trying
to get the hammer so he could open the portal so he could get to eternity.
That's another question I have.
Eternity.
So they mention eternity when they're in the...
Yeah, okay. This is another thing. They don't even mention this until, like, randomly in... That's another point where they just added that in. Zeus says he's not going to get to eternity there. Like, that's a given to everyone else. When clearly that was just added in so that we were introduced to the idea of eternity.
Well, clearly everyone was thinking that. But, like, Jane didn't know what it was. And that's why they'd explained it.
Was everyone thinking that?
Well, clearly, because Thor was like... Well, clearly, everyone in that city had been thinking about it. Thor hadn't been thinking about it.
Well, like, once he
mentioned
it,
Thor
like,
was just talking about going to the dark abyss of wherever he lived, you know?
Yeah.
So if he was there, why was he worried about eternity? That's all I'm thinking. Like,
also,
it didn't seem to correlate. It seemed like they were just using that to add information.
This is a bit nitpicky, but the
Necrosword... I'm being nitpicky right now, so it's okay.
Necrosword looked really dumb in the movie. This is what it looks like. in the comics, it's basically the symbiote, and he just literally opens his hand, and the symbiote extends away from his arm, and it just becomes this blade he has.
So I'm trying to think of a way to describe this to our podcast listeners.
It looked like your just basic medieval sword.
It looks like a basic medieval sword with a gap in the middle, maybe a bit of a Batman flair to it, but you know, like that's basically the sword. It looks pretty cool.
Just go on Google and look up the Necrosword.
So it looks pretty cool compared to the one they have in the movies. The one in the movies is pretty
It's very basic. It's like your basic sword.
Uber white girl basic to an extreme for a sword. Yeah, that's what it is.
Anyways,
definitely. Like this is the this is the Necrosword. Everything that's black on him is the Necrosword.
That's kind of cool. That's a cool concept.
Yeah. And so the movie did not do it justice, which is one of my major complaints, because when
But that's coming from a fan's perspective, which is good. I appreciate the fan's perspective. It is disappointing to see that they didn't do it justice. Mm-hmm. But from a plotline perspective, that's not like a deal breaker.
Okay, plotline perspective, I still hold to my major complaint that it was like you're trying to switch the vibe of the movie.
Yeah.
It's like when you're taking a string, you have a string with a ball at the end, you're swinging it in a circular motion in one direction, and then you just decide to switch instantaneously.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
True. It doesn't work. But
I mean, you can get it back on track after you get enough momentum.
It's hard.
But the thing was, they weren't doing that.
Yeah. And, honestly, by the end of the movie, I wasn't even laughing, but that's partially because I wasn't just being dumb. I was just, like, rating it in my mind, like, is this scene going to be good, is it not?
I could tell you didn't care, because, like, as soon as, the movie ended and the first credit scene showed up, you just did.
Yeah, I literally did not care about the end credits.
But you like Doctor Strange.
Okay, I did not say I like Doctor
Strange. More than this movie.
Yes, I do like Doctor Strange more than this movie. This is true.
I appreciate this movie more.
Because I actually watched till the end.
How do you appreciate this movie more than Doctor Strange?
Doctor Strange was really stupid.
Okay,
we're not talking about Doctor Strange during this. Yeah.
We can talk about that after. But
let's try to
Gore gets the hammer.
Yes.
That's where I'm trying to get to. He got the freaking hammer. Oh, yeah.
So please.
It was devastating. They were devastated because the hammer was stolen. And it was
Jane's life or the hammer. But it wasn't.
Choose.
But it wasn't.
You have to choose. Oh, joke.
It wasn't.
We're all flying away from here. Oh, but my hand... My weak little hand that I clearly don't work out at all is stronger than your buff 300-pound bench press arms.
Yeah, like they're just trying to force him to call the hammer. And then, because the hammer is the key to eternity, right?
Yeah.
Which they never explained either.
No, they just showed it.
They just showed a picture of the hammer and then this little line going
to
the
picture.
To
be fair, like, I don't feel like you need to have that much of an explanation to have...
It's like... Or what if
I gave them a pass
came
on
across,
that.
Across, like, in the caves and just, like, wrote it down as notes.
What villain? What
actually, maybe
villain?
He just liked it as, like, an artistic style.
What actual villain will write
to...
down their evil plan in picture format?
But every villain does that, bro.
Who does that?
He doesn't know how to read.
Well, clearly he does.
He's
illiterate,
bro.
Yeah.
I was about to make a dumb joke, but we'll skip over that. So he gets the hammer. They go back. Valkyrie got stabbed.
The judgment of the gods.
Yeah, no. And then they fly back with the Bifrost.
Mm-hmm.
They land. They all crash. They're like, oh, Valkyrie's hurt. But actually, no Valkyrie. No one cares about her. It's Jane we care about now because she lost the hammer. And then we don't see Valkyrie at all for the rest of the film until she's, like, walking around like a normal human. She's like, yeah, I can't go with you now because I'd probably die, so good luck. Here you go.
Yeah, which is so un-Disney of them to say, oh, I'm not going to go when they'll have people who are basically dead go on missions all the time.
I actually really appreciated that, not gonna lie, when it was just like, it's just Thor. Because I honestly, going into that movie...
I appreciated it to a certain degree.
No, because going into that movie, I thought the entire movie was gonna focus on Jane Foster having the hammer, and Thor was not even gonna be there.
Okay, I actually agree with that. I did think that that was gonna be the case too.
But it was actually a Thor movie.
So, as we were, like, we were dealing with the problem with, what's her freaking name? Valkyrie.
Valkyrie?
She talks about... What?
Valkyrie, bro? Come on.
Valkyrie. Whatever. We're dealing with this woman who says... who hands over the freaking, lightning bolt, tells Thor what to do, and then spanks him and sends him on his way to go fight Gorr, right?
But he goes to see Jane Foster first.
Okay, yeah, so he goes to see Jane Foster, and he's like, don't you dare come follow me.
Alright, quick, I thought that was dumb. Like, anyone could wield the lightning bolt, bro, and like...
Well, anyone can wield Stormbreaker.
Yeah, but like, alright, so how come Mjorn or whatever...
Mjolnir?
Yeah, that one.
Mjolnir.
Oh, you mean...
Wait a second, you're gonna go to town on me for saying Valkyrie?
And
then wait, like, what did Ant-Man call it?
Mjolnir for Mjolnir?
Jonathan. We'll just call him Jonathan. You haven't seen that video?
No.
When they're all trying to name Mjolnir, and they get to Ant-Man's actor, what's his name? The guy who plays Ant-Man. They're like, they call him Mjolnir, and then they get to Ant-Man's actor, and he just goes, Jonathan.
Nice.
Anyways.
Yeah, so Jonathan.
So Jonathan is special, and for those of you listening who didn't get it yet, Jonathan is Mjolnir.
But why?
Because it was a specific spell put on it, or like
that named it Jonathan.
No, there was a rune put on it by Odin that said, "Whosoever wields this hammer shall hold the power of Thor, but you have to be worthy to pick it up." That wasn't put on Stormbreaker. Stormbreaker was literally just forged.
Oh yeah, I know that part, but just the lightning bolt though.
What do you mean?
So
like,
the
how come anyone could just
no,
hold
well,
because it was just like a weapon,
anyone
just like any
can
other
hold
ones.
Any weapon. The only weapon that can't be wielded by anyone is Mjolnir.
Yeah.
Pretty much. We're just going to say that. I'm going to add a special clause there. But pretty much. And because... Odin put that spell on there.
Yeah.
That specifically limited that.
And he put it on there because Thor was a turd, but he never took it off after Thor was a turd.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but like all right.
It was basically to spank Thor.
Oh, yeah.
That was one intense spanking.
Like, yeah. The thing is, like they just wielded it like
they
like,
really like
to
weapon, bring out the paddle.
Huh?
Like, they were just wielding it like it was any other.
Well, only Thor and Jane picked it up, if you notice.
Yeah, but also, like, Valkyrie had it, though. But, like
when did Valkyrie pick it up? Valkyrie never picked up Mjolnir.
No, not Mjolnir. I mean, I'm
sorry. Oh, the lightning bolt.
Yeah,
the lightning bolt didn't have this spell on it, though.
No, yeah, but they were just wielding it. Like,
well, that's because he's not a human.
But they were just treating it like any other weapon, bro. Like, it's not like.
Yeah.
Like, they treated it like they already knew what they were doing.
Well, yeah. See, it all started with Snoke way back in episode 8 of Star Wars, which you don't talk about. And it created this trend.
I thought this podcast couldn't get any worse.
No. It's this trend that Disney started where they ramp up something and they make it seem super, super powerful. And then after they've ramped it up and they've established how powerful it is, it just kind of just goes downhill.
You think that started at episode 8?
That's when I first noticed it. Granted, I was only, like, 14.
Okay, that's an interesting premise. I will have to investigate that, but you might be right.
But it's like, they did it with Gorr the God Butcher. They ramped him up, and then all of a sudden it was just like, oh, he's just some guy with a sword. We can fight him.
What's he in?
Gorr the God Butcher?
In this movie, I'm sorry.
Yes. They ramped him up.
Someone else.
They ramped up the lightning bolt when he was like using it in the theater. It was like everywhere, and then he like literally yeeted it at Korg and just destroyed him.
Yeah.
And then Thor catches it, and it's like super impressive that he catches it.
That's what I'm saying.
And then
like,
he throws it back at
see,
Zeus.
Like, he caught it like it was nothing, and then everyone just starts wielding it like it's nothing. Like,
and then Valkyrie's using it, and she's just like, she looks like the Flash on that moon. It was just going like circles.
Like they make it seem like after being like an ultimate weapon, bro. Like,
yeah.
So doing
it's like the golden weapons in Ninjago.
And they just hold like nothing, bro. Like, they're just treating like it was a butter knife, bro.
Mm-hmm. It's
basically.
Well, it's a super fancy butter knife.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah. It was like they take something that's super powerful and then make it to be like a child's play.
Yeah.
They did the same thing with Stormbreaker, which I thought was stupid because, like, in Infinity War, like, none of you guys can wield this. It's too powerful. And then he just hands it off to some Asgardian kid.
Yeah.
He's like, take him home. And he literally, the kid can summon the Bifrost and it doesn't even phase him. Yeah, I mean, granted, it's Heimdall's son, but...
Like, didn't Thor have to learn?
Yeah, I also thought the kids... Okay, well, we need to get to that point. Basically, yes. Like, just so everyone on the podcast is clear, Gore gets the hammer from Thor and proceeds to go and use it to try to open the portal to, or at least the entryway to eternity, so he can then use his one wish by opening the portal to kill all of the gods, and that's his revenge for the gods
not answering his prayers.
So he takes the hammer, he goes there, he starts to open the portal, Thor shows up, comes to save the kids, and it proceeds to be this big battle between Thor, the kids, the bad beings that Gore summons, and Gore.
Okay, that...
And then Jane shows up in the middle of it.
Well, after he's about to stab Thor. Yeah. The thing that pissed me off was when he just, like, all of a sudden donated, like, all of his power to those kids.
The thing that pissed me off, the one thing that pissed you off...
I'm going scene by scene.
That was, like, the cream of the crop that pissed me off.
That was like, so honestly, stupid. That was like... It was so cringe.
Not only was it cringe, it was just, like... have you ever interacted with a kid before?
Yes.
Kids do not interact like this in situations of pure terror.
No, they don't.
No. And Thor, like,
they do not have this confidence where they just start, like, running at random creatures.
That's why when Thor told them...
with a random brick, yeah, and just start, like, lightning zapping things.
Or like a bunny rabbit with laser eyes.
Yeah, that's the problem. Like, everyone else got, like, an actual piece of thing that could hurt you. And this girl's just holding, a teddy bear and just going, ah!
I felt like I was watching one of those,
like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I felt like I was watching a Disney Channel show. I mean, it was funny in that it was cringe. Me and Cameron were dying.
Oh. I wish I was up there with you guys, because then I would have laughed alongside.
I know, if you were up there with us,
you're
not
laughing, you're crying.
We were cracking jokes the whole time, the entire time. Like, that's the only way we got through it.
That's good.
For the first 20 minutes, me and Cameron were just talking about, like, different movies and stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That's a sign. See, if that's what's happening in the first 20 minutes...
Now, talk.
And you still appreciated this movie?
I appreciate Thor.
That's fine, but that's fine.
Okay, like, there was a couple scenes. Like, when he caught the lightning bolt, another one was when he's like, summon the hammer. And I was like, okay, where are they going to go with this? Because is he going to summon the hammer and Gore's going to catch it? Is he going to summon the hammer? As soon as I saw his hand open and the lightning crackling, I was like, oh, wow. Oh, they're going to do that. Mm-hmm. And then he caught it, and I thought it was just going to, like, shock Gore, but it literally, like, the entire moon, like, quaked.
Right.
Which was, like, tapping into his power, which I thought was cool. Mm-hmm. But they've never actually gone fully into, like, the full potential of how powerful Thor is, except for, like, the end of Ragnarok and end of Infinity War.
Wait, that, and then how does it come across the hammer again?
Huh?
How does it come across, what is it, Stormbreaker?
Stormbreaker? In Infinity War?
No, in this movie. Like,
how does he get it again?
Yeah.
Gore just kind of set it up on, a little stat platform. And had it somehow...
No, that's like when they get to, like, the turn and try to open up the gate. No, yeah. Like, how does he get Stormbreaker?
Oh, he summons it.
No. Like, so he captures them.
Oh.
So he captures them, and he's basically like, Thor, my guy.
He's like, summon it.
Yeah.
And, like, so he's...
He's either summon it, or Jane dies, and so he summons it.
And then when,
He summons it, and then he shakes the whole planet, right?
And then when they're fighting, Valkyrie gets stabbed. We think she's going to die. They all have to get together with the goats and the Korg and...
The goat boat.
Yeah, and then they're all together, and then they're like, summon the Bifrost, everyone goes, but then right before they go, Gore grabs the handle of Stormbreaker, and Thor has two hands on it, Gore has one, and Gore's just like, psych, I'm going to twist your arms, thank you.
Yeah.
And that's it.
And then that's the... almost basically the final scene. They have that big fight between the kids and the beasts,
and Thor and Woman Thor and Gore.
How do they feed the kids again?
Feed the kids?
Free.
They were basically fights, already and then free. As they were as... about to be smashed by a rock.
Yeah, and he but up Thor did leg day.
Yeah, that's why you don't.
Yeah, he
leg
did leg day. He did leg day, saved the rock from being smashed on the pavement and also maybe killing kids.
But I thought
and then
that
put
part
it to
was
aside.
Funny where they were talking about how a Thor one time like took someone's head off, and the dude pops up like, "Oh, you got a laughing body." The second go and just rips the head off some like random being.
Okay. I actually didn't think that was pretty funny too, but I didn't understand why that was even in there. I was like,
yeah, there was a lot of stuff that was like, why is this here?
Why is this scene even
I really
scene?
Wanted them to flesh out
like,
Gore's character.
Honestly, like, that was supposed to be a scary scene, and it was freaking hilarious.
Yeah.
And then,
at the first, it does give, like tones of horror.
Yeah.
Like it's scary, and then this dude just cracks a joke, and you're like, oh, it's defused the whole thing. So it's not as serious as I would have taken.
Yeah. I feel like the whole movie, if you had taken out a bunch of stuff like that, focused on Gore's character... focused on Thor's character.
I do agree with you when you say Gore was like underdeveloped. Like,
yeah.
He just seemed like a random guy.
Yeah.
Like
the whole intro of him just want... Well,
he
like,
was a random guy, but like...
He's not just a random guy in the comics, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He's had like thousands of years of training to like easily fight any god.
Anyways, they get to Eternity, and Thor just gives us a little spiel of how love is the most important thing, proceeds to hold a cancerous woman, and
which I thought was the dumbest thing, because this dude set out to murder every single god, and then Thor's like, yeah, bro, love, and then he just changes his mind like 2 seconds.
Yeah, it's and like, Gore was like, don't turn your back on me, and it's like, why? You literally didn't give a crap about Thor 2 seconds ago.
Yeah, bro. I thought that was the stupidest thing.
But...
I wish for my daughter back.
And he's like, I'm going to use the one super opportunity of a lifetime to do whatever I want. I guess bringing someone back to life isn't the worst thing.
He could have wished for the power to resurrect the dead.
Yeah, if he would have wished for that power, bro...
He would have been, like, the man.
No cap.
Although, actually, he would be dead, though. Although, he could bring himself back to life, right?
Precisely.
Ooh. Can you heal yourself? At
he
least?
You could just ask for the power. No.
Ask
for the
power
over life
say,
or death.
When I die...
Ask for the power over life and death.
Yeah. He could have done that. Point is, he was dumb. Everyone knew it, even if you couldn't enunciate it in the perfect words.
Thor knew he was dumb, too.
And then...
That's why he was like, yeah, I'll take
Jane
care of your
Foster dies.
She goes
so
into
that,
a poof of gold sparkles.
Yeah, so God. She goes away. No. So sad.
Then she comes back.
Well, supposedly.
Well, the way it was set up was she goes to Valhalla, and then as she's entering Valhalla, she's greeted by Heimdall and Odin... in the comics, and then Odin's like, actually, psych, we still need you alive. And so in the end credit scene, she wakes up in Valhalla, she meets Heimdall, and then it cuts.
Yeah, so anyways, she dies in the hopes that Natalie Portman does not have to reappear in the Marvel Cinematic Universe anymore, but unfortunately...
They also have the multiverse.
The multiverse exists. Actually, I don't dislike Natalie Portman at all. She's a great actor. I just don't think she's the greatest Thor. But anyways,
no offense, Natalie Portman.
No
if you ever hear this,
offense, Natalie, you're the best.
I don't think you could have said that in any more sarcastic tone of voice.
Honestly, I think she's a great actor. I think she plays great in Star Wars. But
even though you don't like 1, 2, and 3.
No, I actually do like 1, 2, and 3.
Oh, okay. For some reason, I thought you didn't.
No, I legitimately do. I think 2 was not that good, but...
Oh, well, thank you.
3 is, like, one of my favorite Star Wars movies.
We don't like sand.
It's coarse.
You hear that, Natalie? We don't like sand.
Yeah, so... Anyways, Gore spent time trying to kill heroes, gods. Then, at the opportunity to do such a thing, he has a change of heart and decides he wants his daughter back so that she can be adopted by a rando dude. So, he dies, daughter gets adopted, and then they proceed to have adventures together. And that is cutscene.
End of movie. Bro, like, it's nothing.
Yeah, I was kind of confused why she had the big hammer.
Because she can't wield Mjolnir.
And he had the small hammer.
She can't wield Mjolnir.
Well, why doesn't he just say a little prayer to Mjolnir about her wielding it, and then they're good?
Good question. Probably because also the hammer has more emotional attachment to him now because it was wielded by Jane.
That, and then Stormbreaker has this emotional attachment because, like, throughout the movie,
Stormhammer definitely had emotional attachment.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and they totally dissed him at the end.
Yeah.
Like, throughout the movie, he's talking to Mjolnir or whatever that person's name is. And they're like, bruh.
It's not like, a person, it's
you.
A hammer.
Art, hammer, I love you. Yeah. Why do you leave me? This and that. And Stormbreaker comes out like a jealous ex and is like staring at him. And he's like, nah, bro, I'm just catching up with the X hammer, with the X weapon I had. Like, bro, what the flip? And then it just goes with the little girl, like, nothing happened.
Yeah, also, what really annoyed me is why did Mjolnir just all of a sudden reattach? Why did it do it when she came by, when it should have done that for Thor when it first got destroyed by Hela?
Because she's more worthy, especially since she's about to die. So she's.
Yeah, but actually, the hammer was killing her.
She was just, you know, how. Yeah, when you're in an emotional situation, sometimes you're not in the right state of mind. It was the same thing for the hammer. So it just wasn't in the right state of mind. The hammer got pissed off at Thor.
So she was like, I'm going to murder this person by like making them get cancer whenever they use me.
Well, she already had cancer.
Worsening their cancer.
I'm going to ultra cancer. It's like cancer plus. I'm gonna give her the cancer plus plan.
Yeah, like she gets bimentally cancer.
What the frick?
No, I don't know. I thought that was kind of weird. The hammers as a whole are pretty cool.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Also, the fact that they made Valkyrie's sword have the ability to summon the Bifrost was stupid.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyways, there's a lot of stupid things in this movie. We could go on and on and on about how
what was the stupidest thing for you.
There were
okay, what was the dumbest thing?
Yeah, like the stupidest thing that you're like, I can't believe this made me.
So I'm gonna say I don't know, not as a cop out, but because about halfway through the movie, my critical thinking just checked out, and I just decided to just start taking a tally of what I liked or disliked in the movie. So, anyways, let's give it a rating. On a scale of 1 to 10...
I'll give it a 6.
For which, what part are we rating?
The entire movie.
On the whole?
Yeah.
It'll be a 5.
I'm proud of you.
Okay, well, I would, when I'm rating...
I would give this one a solid...
1.3
really? I wish with all my heart to never see this movie again.
Is there any other Marvel movie you'd say the same thing about?
I regret no.
Captain Marvel?
I didn't see Captain Marvel, so I can't say that.
Thor the Dark World.
I did not like Thor the Dark World at all, but I don't know that I would give it as low a rating as I gave this one. I feel like this movie, and I knew it before I watched it, but Juan convinced me to go spend my money to watch this movie.
It was a worthy investment.
No.
Yes, it was.
No.
Yes.
No, it yes. was not.
Yes, it was.
For the sake of the time that I have spent with you, perhaps, but other than that, no.
Aw, thanks.
You're welcome. regretfully, I must say that... Marvel did not earn my money this day, and makes it very difficult for it to earn my money in the future. And Juan is so disappointed, you can see from his downcast face.
Bro, like, it was a good movie, I guess.
Like, no, it wasn't. It was garbage.
It was good. It was like waste your time.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, if I would like to play Russian roulette on the weekends.
I would say overall, the story needed better fleshing out, but the idea that it had, the story idea
that came from the comics.
Would you say it's more compared, like just because you don't know as much as the Marvel Universe as Andrew?
I mean, there are certain things that disappointed him more than it disappointed me because he knows more about the Marvel Universe than I do.
If you thought you knew as much as him, would it be as bad as a movie?
Oh, it'd be worse than one. Really? I'd give it like a 0.5 probably if I was a Marvel buff.
I really enjoyed the whole dynamic between Thor and Jane, though.
I mean, that was a pretty...
That was the only redeeming part. That's why it's above a 1.
Nah, that if we just took the interaction they had, it'd be like an automatic 7 or 8.
What? You can't give a movie a 7 or 8 based off of one interaction.
No, throughout the movie.
No, I don't care.
Okay, first of all, we have the interaction when he first, like, how awkward and quirky he is when he first meets her.
But that was good.
Yeah, that was good. That was amazing. Good,
yeah.
That was like, bro, good job.
That was like a good... That was 0.1% of the rating right there.
That was so relatable, not gonna lie. It's like...
Okay, well, that's a whole nother aspect.
But then, like, his whole interaction, like, the Chris Hemsworth acting was really good for what he was given.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think he's a great actor. I don't honestly fault most of the actors in this for any part of it at all.
You have to look at who's directing it, though.
It's with the screenplay, the writing style, the dialogue, you know, all that stuff.
Did you see who wrote the movie, directed it?
Yes, I did. Taika Waititi.
That's the problem. Which is,
well, disappointing because I actually like him as a
an actor, not as a movie director.
Well, didn't he, let's see, let me double check this before I just say this online.
I'll say it. What did you want me to say?
The N-word.
Whoa. Point being, like, if they had Jon Favreau.
Oh, I am corrected. Okay, yeah, so Taika Waititi is a terrible writer.
Why? What movies has he written?
I thought he wrote Free Guy, but he didn't.
No.
He just directed and he just acted in that.
Yeah.
Which he was a great actor in that.
He's a good actor, but he has bad ideas.
Well, if you ask me, I think we saw the whole movie.
We definitely did. I mean, look, check that out. Check that out, Juan. Look at that right now.
Oh, God.
If we didn't sum up the movie well enough, we suck.
I feel like this should have been like a 20-minute thing.
It should have, but it wasn't. So here we are. There you go, everyone. Thor, Love and Thunder. Hope you all enjoyed, and we'll see you next time.
Yes, sir.
If you have a movie you want reviewed or have some feedback to give us, send us a message at alostplot.com. If you like this podcast, please leave us a review. It really helps other people find our podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode and look forward to seeing you back with us next time. See you then. Thank you.